I think oftentimes we take that grace for granted because we think we're pretty good. We think we are deserving of salvation, but on the contrary, the Word of God says different. And that is what we're looking at this morning, Psalm 11 this morning, Psalm 11, and this will be a springboard passage. We will read this passage, and then we will go from here this morning. But I want us to begin with a thought here from this passage this morning as we delve into the rest of the message. Psalm 11 in your Bibles. Begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempests this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. But he begins, the psalmist begins here with, in the Lord put I my trust. And he's recounting again the words of those that were against him, recognizing again that what? That the wicked bend their bow. They make their arrow upon the string, and that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. I don't know whether you know it or not, but the world is against you. As a believer, as a Christian, the world is against you. The world doesn't desire for you to go forward in your walk. The world does not desire for you to prosper, to succeed in your walk with the Lord. If they want anything for a believer, it's for a believer to fall on his face. And so they have their arrows pointed. Now, let me say this along with that, that doesn't give the believer the right to say, woe is me, oh, poor me, everybody hates me. On the contrary, God is on your side. God is on your side. And they will receive their recompense for what they have done. We get to this verse 3. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And may I say that the foundations are being attacked. The foundations of our nation are being attacked. The Word of God, the church. But it begins with the family. The family. You see, the family is the foundation. The politicians want you to believe that everything starts at the White House. That the White House and the Senate and the House of Representatives, that is where everything matters. They're not the foundation. Unfortunately, they are the outcome, or they're the product of what goes on in the home. Why do you see 70 and 80-year-old people acting like children? And that's in the House of Representatives. These are the people, these politicians, these are the ones that are making the laws for you and me. That's what they're doing. Shameful. Shame on them. Every single one of them. I don't care what party they belong to. They're shameful. They're shameful. But the arrows are being pointed at the home, whether you recognize it or not. The arrows of the world are being pointed to the home. You see, because if they can destroy the home, everything else crumbles. Why do we find ourselves in the condition we're in our nation? Why? What are the state of our homes? Generally speaking, what are the state of our homes? The devil is very subtle. He will not come out and attack our faith face to face. That won't happen. People will not stand for that. So what does he do? He shoots arrows. And they're being shot at the home. And so the question here, the psalmist says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? My question this morning is this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The foundations are being destroyed. There's only two choices. Maybe three. You can wallow in your misery. Woe is me. Oh, they're against us. Or you can go along and compromise with them. Or you can keep your faith in the Lord. You see, the Lord is not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. I love the end of this verse because it says, or this chapter should say, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. His countenance, his face is looking at you. You know what I want? In my mind's eye, I want to see the Lord smiling when he beholds me. I want to see him smile. Why? Because I am not perfect. But in all that I do, I am attempting to live for him the best way that I can, through his spirit. But what are you going to do? Because the foundations are being destroyed. The foundations are being shaken. But what are you going to do? Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would, Lord, just speak, Lord, through me this morning. Father, I'm unworthy. And Lord, you know that in me, that is in my flesh, Lord, dwelleth no good thing. Father, my desire is to glorify you again with all that I say. And Lord, to strengthen the believers. And Lord, to shine a light again on wickedness this morning. And Father, our desire again is for the lost to be saved and for the believers to be strengthened and you to be glorified. We ask for your blessing now upon this time. Bless your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the psalmist again asks the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundations are being shot at. They're taking a pick and picking a little bit at a time. Pick, 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 pick. Pick, 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 pick. Trying to weaken that foundation. The foundation. And where do they start? Where do they start? Well, they start in the home. And it didn't just start. This didn't just start this year. This didn't start just in 2016. This has been going on for years and years. And today we're seeing the result. Today we're seeing the result of years and years and years of people just simply desiring to destroy the home. Today they want to say that God's order, that God's plan doesn't matter for the home. But I want to tell you that it really does. I want to tell you that the only plan that works is God's plan for the home. So I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 1, the very beginning. By the way, the book of Genesis is, or means, beginnings. It is a book of beginnings. And within the book of Genesis, you probably find the beginnings of 50 doctrines. Of 50 doctrines are found. The beginnings of them are found in the book of Genesis. Of course, we have the doctrine of creation, of a creator. And that is who we're going to look at this morning, along with his creation. Look in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. The sixth day of creation. The sixth day of creation, we have the account of the creation of man. And we begin with God's pattern for the creation of man. The verses before we read in verse 26, in verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God created the cattle, the things that creep upon the earth, the insects, the cattle, and even the dogs and the cats. They were all created. But in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." There was a pattern for the creation of man and woman. And it was not the likeness of the creeping things. It was not the likeness of the cattle and the animals that God had created prior. Man was created in the image of God, in his likeness. You see, God created man. Man didn't come from a one-celled organism. Man didn't come from monkeys. Man did not evolve through millions of years. All these different models that they want to teach in school concerning evolution, they're a lie. They are all a lie. Man did not evolve. Man was created by God in the image of God. God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And man is what? Soul, body, and spirit. We were created in the image of God, and we have understanding, we have wisdom, and that the other animals do not have. Contrary to what people want to say, and these animal rights activists, these people want to say, oh, these animals have feelings and they have compassion. No, they don't. You know why your dog cares for you? You know why your dog cares for you? Because you feed him. Because you feed him. You quit feeding your dog, and guess what they're going to do? You want an idea? You want an idea? You want to get rid of your dog? Quit feeding it. And it'll go away. All the affection that you think he gives you, all the love that you think he gives you, that'll quit really quick. Quit giving him food. And he'll quit giving you attention. They're going to look for the place that gives them attention. We weren't created. They weren't created like we were. Yes, they're God's creation. No, I don't believe we should abuse animals. I'm not condoning that. I'm not saying you should abuse them. But I'm saying they don't have, before the eyes of God, they weren't created equal with man. They weren't. You have people today that want to fight for animal rights. Well, I don't believe that animals ought to be abused. But rights, it's taken a little far. But God is triune, the three in one. In 1 John 5:7 says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one. When you speak of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these are one. We've seen them manifest and work in different ways, but they work together from the beginning of creation to the work of salvation. They were all three involved in the work. And they are involved in the work. When it comes to the work of preservation and keeping us and everything, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three involved. They all three are God. We were created in the image of God. The soul, the body, and the spirit. The soul, again, is where our conscience, our emotions, and our senses rest. In our soul. Our body, our physical being, whether internal or external, it just says this physical shell. This physical shell that one of these days is going to do what? It's going to quit working. It's going to quit working. Your soul's going to live on, by the way. Your soul's going to live on in one place or another, either in heaven or hell. And we've looked at that in the past weeks. But we've been created in the image of God, and we have a spirit. Remember when Adam sinned contrary to the word of God? When God said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, or in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Thou shalt surely die. Did Adam partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Yes, he did. But he was still alive physically, right? He was still alive physically. His soul was still alive. But what died in Adam? You know what died? His spirit. His God consciousness. His consciousness towards God. So every man that is born dead, with a dead conscience towards God. That's why we don't seek him. We're born dead. And a man comes back to life when he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2 and verse 13 says this, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When we accept the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, our spirit is done what? It's made alive. And now we have a new life in Christ. We have a new life in Christ. We were created in the image of God. He is a pattern. He is our pattern. Now, there are attributes of God which we do not have, though we think we might. There's people that think that they have the attributes of God. One of them is omniscience. They're all knowing. There's scientists that think they're all knowing. They know everything. And they know that there is no God. That's what they say. But my Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. They're fools for thinking that there is no God. All their knowledge, again, has puffed them up to the place where they say that there is no God. But I'll take the word of God over any scientist. Amen. I said that to an individual one time. I said, I will take the word of God over any science book. And they said, what? What? Yeah, I will. I'll take the Bible. Take the world, but give me Jesus. You can take the world. You can take all the world you want. Just give me Jesus. I'm good with that. But we are created in the image of God to follow after God. And God created us. He is a pattern again for his creation. And not only is he a pattern, but he created each of us with a purpose. With a purpose. You know that each and every one of you, and not just each and every one of you in here, but every individual in the world has a purpose in God's plan. Every individual that's ever been created has a purpose in God's plan. We're going to look at that, and I believe the Bible bears this out. I want us to recognize the creation of God. As we look here in verse 26 and 27 again of Genesis 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We're talking about the home. Male and female created he them. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. Helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Male and female, man and woman, father and mother, husband, wife, the man and his wife. Just two. And today, the attack on the home, it's an attack on the home. It's not an attack on rights. It's an attack on the home. Amen. The foundation which God has set forth for the home. You see it in Hollywood? Do you see it in politics? And they're all one and the same anymore. They want to say that there's more than two genders. Not according to the Word of God. Male and female created he them. God makes no mistakes. He is righteous. We saw that already in the book of Psalms 11. The righteous Lord. The righteous Lord. He's righteous. Everything that he does is right. You and I don't have a right to change how God created us. You don't have a right. I don't have a right. If God created me, and he did, who do I have to answer to? To God. I have to answer to God. It doesn't matter to me what man thinks. It doesn't matter to me what women think. It matters to me what God says. But there's an attack on the home. There's an attack on our children. Oh, don't identify them at birth. Don't identify their genders. Let them make their own choices when they get older. My Bible says that rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. How do you think the children are going to go? When I was growing up, I have brothers, I have sisters. But the person closest to me in age was my sister. My sister is 2 years older than me. And so because she was closer in age than me, we did things together. And she got me to jump in rope. And she got me to play in jacks. And my older brother said, you know what's going to happen to you? that's what my older brother said to me. But you know what? That didn't make me a girl. That didn't make me a girl. Just because I jump rope. Guys jump rope today. They do it for health reasons. Women do jump rope today for health reasons. Playing jacks isn't going to make you a girl. Just because you get good at playing jacks doesn't make you a girl. Kids are saying, what's jacks? they're saying, what is jacks? Right? The adults know what jacks are, but young people are saying, what's jacks? Just because a child likes to play jacks or doesn't make them a girl. Doesn't mean that their identity, that their gender's mixed up. They'll outgrow it. But we're to give them the choice. No. That choice has already been made. They were created in the image of God. Male and female created he them. And they have a purpose. They have a purpose. God has a plan for every individual, just as he said to Jeremiah that when he was in the womb, he saw him and he called him. You know that God has a purpose for each and every individual that is willing to say, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? What is it that you would have for me? Now, speaking about gender and speaking about the pattern that God had is not hate speech, by the way. It's love speech. Because if they go contrary to the word of God, there is an end for them. There's an end for them, and not just for those that go against the gender in which God created them, but for those that go against the word of God. I'm not speaking the word because I'm perfect. Because you can ask my wife. I'm almost perfect. But I'm not perfect. No, I'm not perfect at all. And who can tell you better than her? Who can tell you better than her? I'm not talking about me being mean to people, to individuals. I'm not talking about calling them names. I'm talking about the foundation which God has set forth. What are you going to do when it's destroyed? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when it's tore apart? We just had a presidential candidate. A male presidential candidate. that would bring his husband up on stage? Does that not fly in the face of God who created him as a man to have a wife? Why are we accepting of this? Why are we afraid? Why are we accepting this? God has made us different. He's made us as male and female, and he has a purpose for the man, and he has a purpose for the woman. And you can't choose what you want to be. You can't. You're created by God as a man or as a woman to fulfill the purpose that he called you to fulfill. You see, God gave the man and the woman a purpose. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Male and female. It takes a male and a female to do what? To reproduce. Male and male cannot reproduce. Female and female cannot reproduce. Can't fulfill the purpose of God. To replenish the earth. It's unnatural. It amazes me that they're in love with nature, and I love the outdoors. I like the bike. I like to hike. You say, a fat guy like you hiking, biking. But I do. I like the outdoors. I like seeing God's creation. We have a beautiful world to live in. But they want to worship the creation more than the creator. And their lifestyle goes against what? Against nature. Their lifestyle goes against nature. Can't fulfill the purpose of God. But they're to replenish the earth. And the Bible says, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. When we think of having the man having dominion over everything that creepeth upon the earth, our mind goes to what? The animals. He has dominion over the animals. As a mom and a dad, guess what you have dominion over? The children. Your child. And when your child comes with a question concerning his gender identity, you don't go with his feelings. You don't go along with his feelings and say, well, if that's the way you feel, then that's the way you feel. No, 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 no. You were created in the image of God. You were created as a man, or you were created as a woman. And you're going to fulfill that role. The role and the purpose that God has given to you. Parents, we have the responsibility to tell them, to teach them. Why? Because they're not developed all the way. They don't know what they're talking about. They're going on their emotions. They're going on their feelings. They're going on what their friends are saying. They're going on what the textbook at school is saying. And we all know that the textbooks aren't all right. The textbooks are not teaching Christian principles. We're to teach them, have dominion over them. There's license plates that say children first. Well, it's not about children first. Children aren't first. They don't make the rules. Children don't make the guidelines. The adults do. The adults ought to. We're to give them direction and leading from the Word of God. We've seen God's pattern for His creation. We see God's purpose for His creation. We also see God's provision for His creation. He says, behold, in verse 29, Genesis 1, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is a fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. You see, God made provision. God made provision for who? For man. He made provision for us physically. He made provision for us physically. But more importantly, He made provision for us spiritually through Jesus Christ. Because we were born dead. We were born with a dead spirit. We were born condemned to a devil's hell. But Christ came to die that we might have eternal life. When we want to do our own thing, when we want to go our own way, what Christ has done for us, we don't want to acknowledge. Because we're okay the way we are. God created me like that. No, He did not create you. He did not create you, if you're a man, to have a relation with another man. He did not create you, if you're a woman, to have a relation with another woman and call yourselves a husband and a wife. He didn't. That's not how He created you. It's unnatural. It goes against God's creation. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is really interesting to me. By the way, I have an article, and I didn't reference it, but this push all of a sudden for gender identity, this push for gender identity all of a sudden has been really brought to the forefront. And the person, one of the people that was instrumental in bringing that to the forefront, he writes of his regret again for having done that, for having brought that up and made that an issue. And I wouldn't be able to find it right now. But he regrets it. Because it's gone so far now. People are going to lose rights. People are going to lose rights. The right to free speech is going to be hindered. Because of the attacks on the foundation of the family. I want to read something that comes. It actually comes from a place where we would never even look for common sense. There was an individual, and I remember him when I was growing up. His name was Joe Piscopo. Anybody remember the name? Joe Piscopo. Some of you remember the name. But Joe Piscopo had an article, or has an article, and I'm just going to read you a couple little paragraphs. He says, Piscopo said he fears for the country, but always tries to remain true to what his father taught him about the sanctity of faith and family. It's a scary time now. They're trying to take away everything that my father taught me, he explained. Everything that he went through, my grandfather coming to this country, struggling in this country, learning the laws, learning the language, believing in one nation under God, in God we trust. The strength and the ethnic foundation, the mosaic of the United States of America, and we believed in this. Now they resent us, Piscopo added. They're telling us you're bad. We're not one nation under God. And we're teaching what we think your children should learn. We're teaching what we think your children should learn. He says, I don't even know where we are. All I know is I'm staying on the path my father always taught me. It's about family, God, and country. That's who we are. The only problem is the order that he put this in. Family, God, and country. It's God, family, and country. But you know what? We wouldn't agree with this guy probably otherwise. But they're even seeing it. He called himself a blue dog Democrat. But they're seeing the foundations being destroyed. And if they're seeing the foundations being destroyed, shouldn't believers see the foundations being destroyed? Yeah. So the question is this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We could stand here this morning and say, I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to stand for God no matter what happens until it hits your front door. Until it hits your front door, then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know what you can do? You can stand with the Lord. You can stand for what's right. You can stand up even if you're the only one standing. Unfortunately, a message preached like this in most churches, the membership of the church would be lined up to complain to the pastor after the service. Save your breath. Save your breath. If I didn't preach the Word of God, then you can go and say whatever you want. But you can't say that it's not from the Word of God. Amen. Bobby, thank you.